All right, welcome everybody to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm thrilled to have you here tuning into our speaker series. And today I'm really, really excited to introduce our featured speaker, Kim Flynn. And Kim Flynn is a best-selling author. She's a speaker and trainer for women in business. She lives in Salt Lake City with her husband and her four children, and she's the founder of five businesses and the creator of the Plug and Play Business System. So the reason I'm introducing Kim to all of you, if you have not yet had the pleasure of meeting her, is that she teaches entrepreneurs how to play big in their business through automation and systemization. And so with all of her amazing expertise, she's been a frequent guest on television and radio shows such as Forbes and Fox Business News, and she has helped tens of thousands of people systemize and grow their small businesses. So welcome, Kim Flynn. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so happy to be here, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I would just love to jump right in, and you can kind of take us on a journey. Can you take us back to when you started your first business and tell us how you did that?
Yes, I started my first business when I was 23 years old, mm-hmm. and I was on fire with this business. I didn't know what I was doing, first of all. I didn't even have a business license. I'm sure I was operating completely illegally, so I had nothing that I was doing, but I jumped in anyway and just took action and started growing this business, and I had phenomenal success right from the start. So I've been given some gifts that are awesome, and I'm so appreciative for them. I'm really good at systematizing things, and so I was able to systematize that first business. I grew it to employ about 30 people, and I was working about 2 hours a week, which is everyone's dream, right? I had young babies at the time, and everything was fabulous. And I had these big visions of taking this business nationally, of making it a franchise, and it was an education business. I really wanted to influence the world of education and teach teachers how to teach reading specifically better. That was like a big passion for me at the time. And I would tell people, you know, friends, family, whatever, people I was talking to, I would say, yeah, I really want to grow this business, take this national, franchise it, yada, yada, yada. And then, because the story doesn't stop there, of course, then I had the actual misfortune of listening to a life coach. So I love life coaches. There's amazing, brilliant life coaches. I just talked to one 10 minutes ago. And usually they are spot on the money, but this one, for some reason, was not. And at the time, I was operating my business in isolation. So even though I had 30 employees, I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a board of directors. I had no one to kind of guide me or help me. It just was me in my house on my computer doing this stuff. And so I had no one to bounce ideas off of. And so this life coach woman came over. She's a neighbor of mine. Sat me down on the couch, and I'll actually forever remember that moment on my couch in my second house, and I was probably in my late 20s at the time, and she said, Kim, you are out of alignment. And she went on to tell me that because I was a mom, I could not do big things. Direct quote from her is, moms can't do big things. And I know it sounds like 1950, but I was in my 20s still at the time, and I was not quite sure of myself, you know. And so I decided maybe she's right. Maybe I'm off here. I've got four kids. My youngest is special needs. Maybe I am trying to do too much. Maybe I just need to slow things way down and do less. And maybe it's proud or arrogant or out of alignment of me to want to play big in business. And so that day, I just kind of told myself, all right, I can, like, you know, dial it way back. And so what that looked like for me was just putting a big boundary on myself and saying, I can still play in business, but I can only play to this point. And once I reach this point, then I stop, because if I go on from there, then I'm bad and evil. So I know it sounds so crazy, but I stayed in that place of playing small for about 7 years, and it just kills me now. And this is what my language changed, Amy. All of a sudden, I started telling people, instead of, I want to take this business national and have this grassroots movement, instead of saying things like that, I started telling people, this is just a hobby business. And I'm just doing this with my left toe, you know, that kind of thing. And
right.
I started using that playing small language. And it wasn't until about 5 years ago when I reached out and just decided to give myself permission to go for it. and have grown this business faster than any other business I've ever had. We sold three businesses in 2011, and have never had more fun in a business or have had much, as much influence in a business. So it's been a wild, crazy ride.
Definitely. And it's, you know, I love that you're sharing, you know, I love that you're just opening up and sharing what that experience was like for you, because every entrepreneur has their story, don't they? And we all go through these moments of kind of uncertainty, or we may be influenced by something that someone else says, and whether it's right or wrong, good or bad, it is what it is. And so we might go down a path for a while that at some point we go, wait a minute, maybe this is off alignment, right? So So I love that you realize that about yourself, and that initially you just at that point you just decided, you know what, I'm gonna change my language back to where I was. I love that your tagline. I see play big, play bold. You know, so it's hard for me to envision someone like you, you know, saying, oh, it's just a hobby. But I bet that you learned so much through that experience, and it probably helps you in what you're teaching today. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had a really nice moment with my daughter. My oldest daughter is almost 15 now, and she's not very expressive. She's one of those, like, even keel level emotions. She takes after my husband and not after me. I was in my car practicing a presentation in my car, and you know, giving this, I don't know, presentation with my daughter in the front seat with me. And I turn over to look at her, and she's just crying. And I'm like, baby, what's wrong? You know, because she doesn't cry spontaneously very often. That's unusual for her. Look over, she's crying, and she says, Mom, I get it. And she says, I see you doing whatever you want to do, and I know that I can do whatever I want to do. Isn't that so cool?
That is so cool.
Like it's kind of this 180 experience where I thought all those years ago that I am sacrificing my family by doing what it is that I am passionate about. And it, you know, come to find out 5 years later, I actually am giving my children what they need by living my purpose, my experience. And now my daughter can go out and, you know, be the world's best stay-at-home mom. She can be a, you know, a senator. She can be an astronaut, you know, whatever she wants to do, because she sees Mom doing that. So that was really cool.
That is very cool. And that's, you know, I just think that parents are our first and our most important teachers, aren't they? And so when we can learn from them and be inspired by them, like your daughter is with you, that's just such a huge gift. So thank you for sharing that story. That is so great.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I thought it was great, too. I'm like crying. I'm like, I know.
So tell us, how did you get started then in your consulting business?
So after I sold three businesses in 2011-ish, and I was actually offered three C-level positions. I was offered a COO position, which makes a lot of sense because I'm very good at organization and systems. I was offered a CFO position, which is pretty hilarious. I'm like, you don't know me very well. And then I was offered a CEO position of a pretty respected company, which is really cool. And tempted to take several of those positions, but ultimately decided, you know what? I need to be doing my own thing. I need to be the captain of my own ship here. And I really want to teach women, other women, how to systematize and grow a business. So many people want to help women out, and it's so admirable that we're all on the same team trying to help women out. But a lot of times the help given to women, I just went to a big conference last week, and it's all like, rah, rah, you can do it, ladies, look into my eyes and cry, that kind of thing, which really isn't business training. And it's being touted as business training, and it kind of kills me. What women usually really need is actual nuts and bolts core skills. We need to learn how to market, how to develop product, how to sell that product, how to do finances. We need to learn those basic skills, and it's heartbreaking to me how non-advanced the education for women in business is.
Totally. You know, it's funny because I've been to some of those conferences, and it's interesting when you see kind of the different speakers and how women and men on male entrepreneurs kind of reflect back what the speakers are saying. You know what I'm saying? So and I get what you're saying when they get kind of more tapped into the kind of the emotional and spirited side of things. And that's great for inspiration.
That's wonderful. Yeah,
exactly. There's that
but
part of it.
But it's going to grow your business.
So what exactly are you going to do to really maximize your profitability and really think about the bottom line and these types of things? It's interesting that you bring this up, because I feel like in recent months I've been connecting with more really successful men who are talking about really taking my business even to the next level. And so I'm really fascinated by how consistent their message is amongst each other, even though they're from different realms of my world. And then thinking about how I've been taught by some of my, you know, the women mentors in my life who are great. It's just a different energy. So I love that you've really kind of, you know, hit that point where that's great. The rah-rah is great. However, you also need this, you know, the step-by-step process. And otherwise, you know, what are you doing? So does that where I know that you were, we're talking about the SELSUM, SELLSUM marketing system. Can you tell us a little bit about the SELSUM marketing system and how business owners can apply this?
Yes. I would love to go into depth of that, but I'm not sure if this is the time to dive deep into that, but I'll just give you the basics. It takes about 12 hours to train, actually, but it's a marketing system. So there's so many different marketing techniques out there, like, oh, you should be on Facebook, you should be on Twitter, you should be on LinkedIn, you should be on here, you should be on here. And oftentimes marketing just serves as like a guilt factor, all the things you should be doing that you're not.
Right.
And so rather than just think, I need to play everywhere, and oh, my a guy on my team just introduced press releases to us, and he's like, you'd be doing press releases twice a week. And I'm like, well, one more thing, you know. But if you have the SELSUM in place, you can say, okay, do I have an S? Do I have an E? Do I have an L? Do I have an L? You know, that kind of thing. And what do I need to plug in each one of those portions? And then you're not confused by all of the chaos and all of the choices. You pretty much can ignore most of those and just have one clean funnel from one going to the next, going to the next, going to the next, and clear out all of the I should be doing that and I should be doing that. So that's what the SELSUM is. We actually host business intensive retreats to twice a month. We do about 50 events a year, and people learn the SELSUM at the business intensive retreat. So it's pretty cool. I like
Very
it.
Very cool. Yeah, absolutely. And are those retreats in person? Are they virtual? How does that work?
No, these are in-person retreats. Actually, we just bought a lodge. We bought a Sleeps 50. We usually have about 25 people there, and people fly in from across the country, and we overhaul your systems for your business in those 3 days. So it's pretty good stuff.
Wow, very cool.
Retreats. Yeah.
Definitely. And are those retreats also described on your website at kimflynn.com? If people wanted to
You can get to it that way. Yeah, but you can also go to Women's Business Retreat. Women's is plural, businessretreat.com, and you can see a video of what we do there.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I just want to make sure, because I'm sure those of you who are listening who are thinking, I'd like to take a three-day retreat and learn how to really streamline my processes and have that one clean funnel. There are a lot of confusing messages out there, or we can be bombarded by a huge to-do list, like you were saying, and feel like, I'm not doing enough, or I feel like I'm doing everything, but nothing is happening. And so it sounds like this is a really great system in place that you've created and are teaching at these retreats. So womensbusinessretreat.com for those of you who would like to check that out.
So many business owners, like, they think they're doing marketing, that they're just, you know, splashing so many things around. They're really not doing a clean marketing funnel. We're going to put some posts on Facebook, and then we're going to send some email blasts out, and then we're going to talk to a neighbor, and then we're going to go to a networking group, and somehow that's supposed to magically produce this lead funnel, and then it's supposed to magically produce sales calls, and then magically produce sales. So I want to see everything very tight and very clean. You know, when you go to a networking group, you get five leads, they go into this funnel, you know, just very nice and clean and tight. That's what I like.
Yeah, that's great. Love it. awesome. So part of the theme of our speaker series, of course, is Miracle Business Breakthrough. Can you take us back and think about what you would think is a big miracle business breakthrough that you have experienced in your journey that you could share with us?
Yes. I have a seven-figure business now, and I promise those business breakthroughs, like, that's not something that used to happen, you know, 5 years ago, and now I've got it figured out. If you really are growing as a person and as a business owner, you'll continue to have those business breakdowns and business breakthroughs as you go. So I bought this lodge I was telling you about 3 months ago.
Okay.
Brand spanking new, and this is a luxury lodge. It cost a lot of money, and I was absolutely freaking out thinking about buying this. It took us about 6 months to buy it. And at one point, I was like, what am I freaking doing? I am scared out of my mind. You know, the biggest investment I've ever purchased on my, you know, by myself. My husband's not on the property. It's just me. And just putting all of my cash saved up for my business and all of my credit, like putting everything into this, and just how scary that was. So I always tell my clients, you know, whether you're investing your first or 10,000 or your first, you know, six-figure chunk of change or seven-figure chunk of change, like it doesn't go away. The need to invest and the need to walk into that scary, dark, you know, unknown place, that doesn't go away. The numbers just keep getting bigger, and that's the fun part. That's the fun part of business. So what's so fun, though, is as soon as I did that, as soon as I just said, okay, this is what I'm doing, it makes sense on paper, all the numbers are adding up, even though I'm scared to death, I'm not going to let my fear hold me back, I'm still going to move forward with this. Instantly, like as soon as we closed, we've been able to it just makes so much sense. It's been this huge, huge benefit to our business. So don't make decisions out of fear is my big breakthrough.
That's such a good one. So say it again.
Don't make decisions out of fear.
Don't make decisions out of fear. Everyone needs to write that down. I'm writing it. It's a good reminder, though, you know?
Yeah. If I can share one more thing about that, too, Amy. I'm a spiritual person, a God person, so I went to God with this, and I was like, you know, I am freaking out about this amount of money that I'm investing and just feeling scared that it was all on my shoulders. And just, you know, had that conversation with Source, higher power, whatever that looks like to you. And I had a picture just come into my mind of a tree. And so there's this beautiful tree above ground. And then below the tree is this huge root system that actually spreads as wide and as deep as the tree itself above the ground. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is what this is. If I want to have these amazing results or continue to have amazing results in my business, I also need to go through the root building process. And part of that root building process for me was being okay with investing. That was a very difficult but a beautiful lesson that whatever I want on the outside, I need to put in the roots to get that. And part of the roots is being able to handle financial investment.
Right. Wow. That is so great. And congratulations on this really huge next step in your business. I mean, just
thank you.
Luxury Lodge. I'm going to definitely check out womensbusinessretreat.com after this to see the video and check it out myself.
Yeah, so, to see it. It's the grand tour of the lodge is in the video too.
Oh my gosh. How exciting. And where is it located?
It's in Park City, Utah. It's in a resort community, ski resort.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. I've heard Park City is awesome. I've been to Salt Lake City, but I haven't been to Park City. So that is very, very cool.
Is pretty beautiful. Yeah, the very green mountains. It's gorgeous.
Definitely, definitely. So, question for you: since you focus primarily on women entrepreneurs, what would you say are the top mistakes you see women making in business?
I love women in business. Love, love, love. And I do speak primarily to women, not because I don't like working with men, just because that is where my heart pulls me. Women actually stop or do these five very predictable, very researched things that we do. So women, first of all, I can just share some stats with you, Amy. The $100,000 mark in business, only 12% of women reach the $100,000 mark in business, while 24% of men reach that, so that's double. The $500,000 mark in business, only 4% of women get there, and double that of men, so 8% gets the $500,000 mark in business. The $1 million mark in business, 1.2% of women get there, while 6% of men, so over three times the amount of men get there than women do. So, you know, it is a fact. Women do not play as big as men in business. It's just a fact. It's not a judgment call. It's researched. And so I was fascinated by these numbers, and so I really dug into some great research. If you're looking for places to research women in business, American Express is great research, Kauffman Foundation, and the government itself has great, great stuff they publish almost annually. So the reasons are, number one, is women tend to stop between the $250,000 and $500,000 mark. We stop when we have between 5 and 9 employees at that level, usually because we don't have systems to automate things. We're just running around putting out fires. And we're like, well, I don't want to do this. Let's just play smaller. Let's just back it up a little bit because I can't grow bigger because this is just a chaotic mess, you know. So the solution to that is we really do need to have systems. We need to learn how to put systems into our business. So that's number one. Number two is the investment piece I just talked about. Women are less likely to invest in their business than our men. We're less likely to use other people's money in the forms of credit cards, in the forms of bank loans, in the forms of borrowing against our home. We're just less likely because we are more willing to obey the financial advice that's been given to us throughout our life, which you'd think would be a good thing, right? So Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey, love, love, love Susie Orman. Used to TiVo her show and watched all the time. Dave Ramsey, I kind of like, but anyway, like them, but their message is so suited for consumers or people on a fixed income. People who create money, entrepreneurs, have to play by different rules than people who just spend it. And so if you are a business owner and you're playing by Susie Orman rules, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So my favorite example of this is, like, if I wanted to go out and buy a boat, let's say I wanted to spend $15,000 on a boat and I don't have that money to buy in a boat, it's not smart of me to go buy that boat if I'm a consumer. But if I'm a business owner, I would buy that $15,000 boat and then I would, you know, rent it out and make $1,000 a week until I've paid the whole thing off. So different rules apply for consumers than business owners. And women are not getting that message clearly enough. We're too afraid to invest in building our business. And once we've built it, we're too afraid in investing and growing it. So that's a heavy reason why women are playing smaller.
Interesting. And I love that you shared those statistics, you know, and I hope that for those of you ladies out there who are listening are hearing this, because it's really the opportunities are out there for us to grow and, like you said, play big and play bold. I love that tagline. And it kind of gets me fired up to think that, wow, you know, it's just hearing those statistics, I want to play bigger, you know, and I hope that all of you do too. And it's not, like you said, not a judgment call. It's just facts. These are facts and figures. And so when we can kind of break through to the other side of that and just say, you know what, I am going to take this chance. I'm going to take this leap of faith. I'm going to believe in myself and know that I can do this, then hopefully we'll see those numbers change.
Yes, yes. And I just want to stress again, it's not so much a belief thing. It's what are women doing? Like, take the action and do those things. So step out on that limb and grow the business. Learn how to systematize the business. Step out on that limb and take out a credit card. Take out a business loan. Take a loan against your house, whatever it takes. But men are doing those things. Women are not. And so, therefore, we are falling behind.
Definitely. Definitely. So, Kim, what areas of business should a business owner spend most of his or her time on?
Two absolute areas where you need to hang out in, and that number one is leadership. That's growing yourself as a manager or a leader, and also spending time with your team, developing your team, growing your employees if you have employees. Number two is marketing and sales. There's no way around it. I've learned this lesson many times. I have a sales floor with the whole sales floor going on in my business. And I always figure, because I'm the queen of systems, right? I always figure, well, once I've set it up and systematize it and everyone has a script in place and everyone knows exactly what they do every day, every week, every month, they all have reporting, they all write it down on the spreadsheet, you know, everything is perfectly systematized. But you still can never take your finger off of that sales piece. It will always be there. You can't set it up and forget it when it comes to sales. You are always going to be working with those salespeople, working with your sales managers or your sales staff. You can't forget about sales. That is the lifeblood of your business. And so I always want you to have a pulse on marketing to get leads to that sales team and then on that sales team.
Definitely. So do you yourself have a sales team that does the sales for you?
Yeah, I did sales in my company for about the first 2 years, so I know exactly what it's like to be in the trenches, just like a lot of the people listening today are. I know exactly what it's like to be on all those calls every day and be doing that. But, yeah, I've been able to hire that out about 3 years ago, and now we have sales managers and a sales floor.
So tell us about the best time for someone to hire their first administrative assistant, for example, because I know a lot of people are asking about, at what point should I hire somebody? So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Actually, I get this question asked all the time as well. Everyone wants to know, who do I hire first and how do I go about hiring them and when do I know is the perfect moment? And the biggest question I get asked about this, Amy, is how do I hire someone when I can't afford to hire someone? Like, how do I do that? And the answer is you are going to hire before you feel ready to hire. When I start a company now, I just started another company last year, the very first thing I did was bring on a staff. And once you've done that, you know how essential and how critical that is. And you will love having hired that first person. So look for someone who is not just a duplicate of yourself. Look for someone who actually has the skills that you need. So if you need someone who can follow step one, step two, step three, you're not going to look for this personality that is so big and they want to connect with people and they want to, you know, be the life of the party. That's not who you're looking for. So just make sure very clearly what personality would fit into this position, because someone who's a big personality person is not going to like the nuts and bolts, just following the nuts and bolts. but do it before you feel ready. So if you're questioning right now, oh, should I bring someone on or not? Absolutely, you're overdue.
Got it. That's such a great answer, because I think most of the time people think more kind of in this logical way that we've been taught to think, right? Wait until you have the budget to hire somebody, but then you'll probably never feel like you have the budget to hire someone, right?
That's the secret. You never will have the budget because you're spending all your time like running around, and you can't spend your time on the two critical components. You can't spend your time doing marketing and sales because you're too busy doing everything else, doing all the admin stuff, for example.
Yeah.
And so if you take that time, like if you hire someone for 10 hours a week and you spend that time in front of the TV that you just saved, obviously you're doing your company a disservice. But if you take those 10 hours and pour those into marketing, sales, and leadership, your company will grow and be better off.
That is so great. I remember hearing a quote once. I think it was from Allie Brown, who said that don't do $10 an hour jobs if you want to make more than $10 an hour.
Exactly.
Know?
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
Things you can hire out, and during those hours, like you said, make sure that you're focusing on growing your business. So
yeah,
that totally makes sense. I love that. So what would you say?
And
go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, posting on Facebook is not growing your business. So don't tell yourself, I'm growing my business. And going to one more networking group, not growing your business. You're just having fun. Like, really, dig in. Jump on those sales calls.
Love it. I love it. So on that note, what would you say are the biggest productivity wasters?
Facebook and email. there they are, right there. I actually have a challenge. Can I give out a challenge here today?
Yeah, give out a challenge.
All right, here's my challenge. This is my challenge. It will change your business. You will see massive production in your business from yourself, maybe if you've never even seen it before, if you take on this challenge. It's going to sound easy, but once you start to do it, it will be very, very challenging. You are addicted right now to Facebook, and you're addicted to email. You really are. Your habits are so ingrained, you are an addict. And I can pretty much say that to everyone, because almost everyone in the U.S. is a Facebook or email addict. And so what you do is you walk in the office, you sit down, the very first thing you do is either Facebook or email. The problem with that is when you do Facebook, you're telling other people, you know, feed my ego, feed my need to connect with people. That's more important than running my company. And when you go to email first, you're saying, you know, you actually are the CEO of my company. I'm not, because you're telling me what to do before I tell myself what to do. And so before we go to Facebook and email, we are going to write down on a sheet of paper the top three things we need to get done that day for our own business, for our own selves. And that does not include answering email. You can't just write down answer emails on the first thing, you know.
And post them on Facebook, right?
Yeah, exactly. So your own things that you need to get done that day. After you get those three things done a day, and for me, oftentimes that's not until lunchtime that I finish those, then we can go and address other people's agendas. But we always are the CEO of our company first. We always say, what do I need to get done today first? So that needs to happen. And I probably came out a little strong on that Facebook thing. I love Facebook, and I go there to get an ego stroke and to connect people all day long. So I'm not meaning to bash people on that, but it can be a huge, huge time suck, as probably you already know.
Absolutely. And this is a really great challenge. So I hope all of you are hearing this, because
30 days.
Yes, 30 days. 30 days. So everyone write on the calendars the day that they're starting, and go for 30 days straight and see what happens in your business. This is a really good challenge. I'm going to take it myself. So there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so what would you say is your number one productivity habit?
That would be it right there, doing your first three things a day before you address other people's things. And we have what's called a plug-and-play business system that my company is run off of, and all of my clients run their companies off of it. And it kind of forces you to build those new habits of going to your plug-and-play first and then figuring out your things first before we move on to other things.
So good. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. So cool. And so what are you focusing on now in your business?
Oh, man, we're just our word for the year, you know how I use a word for the year? Our word is expansion. We pretty much doubled our revenue every single year, and we're on that expansion thing again. We're adding on different types of retreats. Instead of once a month, we're doing twice a month retreats. I'm trying to practice stepping out of even more and more in the company, letting my team take over. So lots of very cool things. We're adding on direct marketing and multi-level marketing retreats, which is really fun. They'll be day and a half kind of quick retreats So if anyone mm-hmm. listening has a large downline and wants to partner up and run retreats and teach your downline really structured sequence systems, that's what we're working on. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Very cool. And that's, you know, there's so many people that are in that direct marketing world that could really use up-leveling when it comes to their businesses,
yes.
right? Because I think that I've met a lot of people who at first they do treat it like a hobby, and they say that they want to do what the kind of the movers and shakers in the company are doing, and yet they're not aligning their schedules or their tasks and actions with those types of goals. So I think it's fantastic that you're offering that to that really great audience. So
A lot of people in those industries really are doing it just out of a hobby, and that's totally fine if you want to do hobby and want to run that business that way. What I work with is people who have, you know, played in hobby space for a while and are now mm-hmm. ready to step up and start really playing and want to know really how do you do that. So that's
mm-hmm.
who I work with.
Very cool. So, Tim, a lot of our listeners are newer coaches and entrepreneurs, and they would
uh-huh.
love to know how to get to that first sweet spot in business of earning $10,000 or more each month consistently.
Uh-huh.
So I'm asking each of our experts to share their top three tips that our listeners can apply right away in their businesses to work towards that goal. So what would you
sure.
say are your top three tips?
Number one tip is know your numbers. And the way you know your numbers is you have to track your numbers. So I want you to track, and again, my clients have this fancy-dancy sales tracker. You don't need to go fancy-dancy, though. You can just write on a sheet of paper. How many
mm-hmm.
calls did I make today? How many leads did I call? How many people answered the phone? How many people did I talk to? How many set appointments? How many had sales conversations? How many had sales? And what was my revenue? I know it was a lot all in one stream, but I want all of those numbers tracked every single day. What happens when you know your numbers, after you've tracked that for a good month or so and are having sales conversations on a regular basis, you'll know that it takes, let's say, 50 leads to make one sale. And so when you know your numbers, then you go into step number two, which is the big lead chase every week on your weekly meeting every week. If you have a team, you'll sit down and you'll say, okay, we want to have 3 sales this week. That means I need 150 leads. How are we going to get our 150 leads? I'm going to a networking group. That's 30 leads. Perfect. I'm going to be on a webinar. That's 50 leads. Perfect. And you keep on doing more marketing activities until you get to that number. So it takes the magic out of sales and marketing. It's not some mysterious thing where you put it out there and the universe returns it back to you. That is a tough way to operate a business. The business way to operate a business is to say, okay, it takes 150 leads to make a sale. What do I need to do to get those leads? And you pretty much chase leads for the first 2 years in business. And it's exhausting. You're like, man, how do I get enough leads? How do I get enough leads? But what's so great is as the snowball starts to roll down the hill, leads are attracted to it automatically. And so the bigger you get, the less hard you have to work for those leads. So, for example, right now in my company, we probably have maybe 200 leads coming at us per week. We don't even mm-hmm. have enough resources to follow up with all those leads. And so you have to work really hard for the first 2 years. But after that, if you've been putting good stuff out there and people are naturally attracted to you, then mm-hmm. the baby just rolls down the hill. So it does get easier. But getting to that first $100,000 is a challenge. You just have to work your tail off.
Absolutely. Love it. So is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today? I know before we got on the call, we were talking about a special gift that we're going to share.
Yes, actually, I would like to hook up anyone who would like to, and you do need to have an active business. We don't work with people who want to be in business. We work with people who are already in business. They have an active business. You have a website. But if that sounds like you, and if you resonate with my message, which is a little bit hard-hitting, nuts and bolts, facts of business. I'm not a super fluffy bunny, but if you're needing that in your business and that's what you're looking for, I would love to invite you to get a free coaching call. It's going to be a coaching call with one of our master coaches. His name is Zane. He is amazing. Seriously, like, he's amazing. He has built a $7 million business. Everyone loves him. You will love this call. So bring your own questions to the call, and he will walk you through whatever questions you have and just answer whatever you have. And that's a free coaching call for those people who have an active business and have a website. And then mm-hmm. I would actually love to give those people who want the free coaching call, I'd love to throw in my book, too. That's something I've never done before. Let's get my book mailed out to you as well. So if you want to get a free coaching call and my free book mailed to you, just email me, email free@kimflynn.com, and we'll get you all hooked up.
That is amazing. So, and what is the name of your book?
It's called Playing Big, The Unsexy Truth About How to Succeed in Business.
Perfect. Well, thank you for your generosity. That is very,
yes,
very cool. And we'll make sure that the link and the email are on your speaker's page so that all of you should be, in a good way, taking advantage of this offer. What a great offer to connect with a great coach and also receive her book. This is so generous of you. So, Kim Flynn, it has been such a pleasure chatting with you today, and I just so appreciate you being one of our special guest speakers for Miracle Business Breakthrough. I hope that we will be chatting again soon in the near future.
Amy, thank you. Absolute pleasure. Love what you're doing.
Awesome. And to those of you who are listening to our series, thank you for tuning in, and I empower you to break free and turn your small business into your dream business. Take care.